All right. Good morning, everybody. This is the sprint report for sprint 116. And let me just bring up our sprint pages and share my screen. Here we go. If someone could just let me know when that comes through.
Yeah, I can see it.
Excellent. All right. So we will go through, do the normal introduction. Just to note that for this showcase, we are going to be doing things a little bit differently. After some feedback that we got around the new year, we're going to try to limit each team to 15 minutes. The team lead will kind of organize the structure of that 15 minutes as they see fit. But we will try to keep to that time fairly consistently. The other big change for this week is it will start on time, except when I'm late. So going forward, we will try to get this meeting started right at this is 9 a.m. Eastern for me, so 6 a.m. or whatever time zone you're in. So that'll be 6 a.m. Pacific. In any case, let's get started here. We'll start off with the Team JSI Sprint 116. We can see that they got through 16 story points spread across 4 tickets. On this sprint, they were working on the edge cases for the shipment epic and QA of some of the reporting work, and then some quick win tickets as well. Going on to Team Parrot, kind of going in a random order here. They got through 20 story points spread across, looks like about 9 tickets, one of which doesn't have any story points, so maybe we can get those added in. They were working on more functional tests and performance improvements. Mind the Gap, they got through 10 story points, as well as there's a couple of other ones here that maybe you're, I don't know if they're zero or none, but there may be some additional story points there, but there looks like there were 6 tickets completed. They were working on the requisition splitting and then researching the tools for the notification service. And then last to Team Ona, they got through no story points, which we kind of knew. That team was mostly unavailable and a lot of the work that was being done was terms of preparatory work. But the work that they are doing is in the area of DHIS2, and they do have a number of things, one ticket that's in review and a few things that are in progress. So so they're working on the DHIS2 work. They're defining the data pump scope. We had some discussions about that and then documentation for all of that. Let me just bring up Sonar. So let's see if we have anything we have one that's failing here, the CCE service. Does anybody have any comments about that? Know what's going on there?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, yes. If I can hear you.
Yeah, there are some tests that were failing, so on the Sonar, and I've resolved it yet.
Okay, so those will be resolved shortly then?
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, just going through, looking for any reds. And now we're down into way old stuff. Okay, we're good, so it's just those. Yeah, so we can just make sure that those CCE issues get resolved, and we'll be back in the green here, that'll be good. All right, I don't think there's any other things to go over with that. I think we'll do the normal order of things and start off with Team Ona. Clay or Craig?
Clay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna hand it over to you. I'm gonna stop sharing.
Cool.
So just a reminder, we'll try to keep it to 15 minutes for this.
Yeah.
Great, we can see your screen.
Great. Yeah, so as you noted, we don't have anything that's quite in the completed column yet from this sprint, but I think we might, if not by the end of the day today, then you know there's a lot of stuff that's pretty close. It'll just get done in the early part of the next sprint. I started on a wiki page to describe the contents of our dashboards. I found an old page here that Mary Jo had written. It kind of talks about how dashboards fit into the reporting and analytics strategy for OpenLMIS. And I started adding here this contents section. So just some explanatory text in terms of how the functionality works. A link to the SQL logic for folks that are more technically inclined. But then kind of going through each dashboard just with some screenshots and descriptions of what's included. I've made it through about half of them, so I'll be able to finish that up. I wasn't able to get to it just in time for this, but I'll be able to finish that up pretty quickly. Additionally, I was working on defining metrics that we need to send to DHIS2. I've got a wiki page drafted here, but I don't want to necessarily, this is what I have is in review. This is just based on, this is just referencing the fields that we'll be pulling from on the requisitions and routing to DHIS2. Each sort of row is going to be at a per product reporting period and facility level. I'm not moving it to done yet just because I want to speak to Craig. I just want to circle up with Craig in terms of what the outcome of his scoping ticket is, because that was really the big thing for us this sprint, which he'll be speaking about briefly here. last thing, data pumps requirements gathering, I still have is in progress. Peter, Josh, Wes, and I had a meeting early last week, where we talked about the vision for data pumps and how sort of Kafka fits into the broader strategy of the reporting stack, and just generally how OpenLMIS wants to make data available for consumption by external services. The reason I still have this is in progress. Once Craig and I have had a chance to talk about the level of effort around DHIS2 integration, that will inform what kinds of resources the ONA team will have available to bring Kafka into, the reporting stack. It was something that was sort of just discussed early on. And then in the recent release, it was sort of put on the back burner. In talking with Josh, it is something that, we should really, and with you, Wes, it is something we really should push to, bring into the strategy. And so Craig and I just want to talk about resourcing, for DHIS2, some of the other items we have and how Kafka can fit into that. So that's why I just have that still as in progress. This is kind of our precursor for any Kafka work. Craig, I don't know if you're on and if you can speak about 5873.
Yep, sure can.
Cool. I will stop sharing.
And Clay, just a note, I think we're planning on having those conversations today, right? So we might, these tickets might, as Clay said, they might be closed before the end of the day and before we close out our sprint. So I'm sharing my screen now, the DHIS2 integration software requirement specification. This document, it still probably needs another 20%, which I'll flesh out today, but it's 80% there. What I primarily focused on was the user experience identifying, which tasks are setup tasks, like what we expect the user to experience as they're executing, getting data into DHIS2, and then what kind of items need to be maintained in by system administrators. The integration, as I'm sure JSI can also talk to this point, the setup of the integration with an existing DHIS2 system is the major amount of work. Once that setup has been complete, it's just up to the users to run their reports, review them, and then submit them to DHIS2 on a regular schedule. So I've clearly kind of identified the different pieces in that would be required in setup, identified specifically what we are planning to make available to make that setup easier as part of the minimum viable product. And then what I'll be finishing today is identifying the schedule, basically what needs to be built first, and the system architecture diagram. So these items done here around architecture diagram and work process. We also have an ongoing discussion on Slack around the approach, I posted something last week, which Josh replied to, and so I expect that's going to continue as part of these items. But I feel confident that I can have a kickoff meeting with Anthony and Jeanette, if not at the end of this week, early next week, to identify the scope and then to begin working on a clear set of tasks for the next sprint. Are there any other, are there any questions about this?
No questions from me, Craig. I'm looking forward to seeing this once it's completed.
Sure. All right.
All right. Is that it for Team Mona today?
I think so, yeah. Yes.
All right. Were there any questions for any of the tickets that Craig and Clay talk about? All right. We will continue on with Team JSI. So, Ashraf, would you like to?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
So, good morning, good afternoon, everybody. So, let me begin by sharing my screen first. Do you see my screen?
Yep, it just came through.
Okay. So, as Wes gave an overview that, you know, we are in the JSI Sprint 116. And we have in the down category, I think, four of those tickets. And those are for the ship and file, as well as one for the quick win. However, there's three other tickets that you see that are in the QA and in the review column. And as you know, that our sprint really ends at the end of the day. So we still have time. So what we plan to do is by the end of the day today, we are hopeful that we can also finish up these three additional tickets, and I'm also coordinating with the respective ticket owners for those. And I get the update from them that they're pretty confident that by the end of the day, that they would be able to also complete those things. And then we hope that they would come to the done category at the time. It's mostly for the feedback that we have received. For example, Aldunia has received some review, and he's incorporating those. And as like Hassan said, that for the CCE ticket, that he has received some feedback from Aldunia, and also as we have seen that it has, you know, like generated some build error. So he is planning to fix that. So hopefully by the end of the day today, all of these tickets should be there in the done category, except these two, which is in the to-do category. This originally, when we started the sprint at the time, we thought that like Mohammed would be able to work with Clay for continuing of the test. But Clay afterward informed like Mohammed that at this in this sprint, that their like primary focus is with the DHIS2. And then what would make more sense is for like Mohammed to get prepared for upcoming work for like Tanzania, where the reporting stack needed to be, you know, configured so that it worked with the OpenLMIS version 2 or the ELMIS version 2, as we call it. So he's doing, you know, some of those background research in preparation for that work, and which is going to be more going to be useful for his time. But we did not added those tickets here because, you know, it has happened after the sprint already started. So without further ado, let me, since we have only 15 minutes, and the way that I'm planning to do it like today, that I will just give a quick overview of the other tickets other than the alias ones, because these are the most like substantive one. And so I will hand it over to him so that he can give the demo for his tickets. And I think that, you know, since his tickets are also quite long, and he may also have to give a quick overview on some of those, but in other cases where he think he can fit in within 15 minutes, he will give the actual demo. So I'm now kind of jumping to the other ticket that Adunia had. Since I would not call him to give the demo, so I'm just giving a quick overview of that ticket. So this ticket was that the facility list don't appear in an alphabetical order, and he has done the fix, and he also gave me a screenshot that shows that, you know, this is how this is done, that this is now appearing in an alphabetical order. But as I said earlier, that ticket needed to be QA'd before it's moved. So hopefully by the end of the day today, we will be able to complete this ticket there. Then the next one is, I believe, the CCE. Yeah, so this is the CCE that Hassan was talking about. He completed that, and Adunia provided some feedback on the code refactoring area for him. So he is planning to implement that by the end of the today, and hopefully that would be done to as well. And the issue with this thing was that it was giving some internal error when you call the API endpoints, and he fixed that, and hopefully this would also be done by the end of the day today. The other one is for Adunia, which is also quick wins. So this is where the pagination doesn't work correctly, and Adunia already fixed it. And this is the second screen here. So I believe that through the kind of URL, when you pass it, say 5 or 6 instead of 10, so that it displays only that many facilities rather than, that many facility types rather than just the 10s, that has already been fixed. So with that, I would now hand it over to Elias so that he can give the demo for his tickets for the other ones that are the 3 tickets that he had on the shipment. And I will hand it over to him.
Okay, thank you. Let me share my screen. Did you stop sharing, Ashraf?
I
have the option to share.
I stopped sharing. Do you not get the option to share?
Yes. Okay, now I got it.
Okay.
Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes, we do see your screen.
Okay, great. I will be demonstrating some of these tickets that are in the drone column, and also one ticket that's in QA, which we expect to be done by the end of the day today. The first ticket that I will be showing is OLMIS 5832, which is to implement validation of shipment file template, so that required fields would be present in the template definition. When we try to parse a shipment file, we depend on the availability of either order ID or order code to identify to which order that shipment file corresponds to. And in each shipment file, we also need orderable ID or whatever identifies the product. And it also needs to have a shipped quantity. And these are 3 required fields. But out of the 3 required fields, the 2 would have interchangeable fields too. So for order ID, order code could be interchangeably used. And for orderable ID, product code can also be interchangeably used. Previously, we had an API that allows the administrator to define a shipment template, but that API did not have a validation to ensure that all required fields are present and that no duplicate field is allowed for these identifier fields. And with this ticket, that's exactly what we implemented. To demonstrate this, I will be going to my postman, and this is something that affects only the shipment file template. So for instance, here, what we have is a valid shipment file template. And in this shipment file template, what we have is a few columns. The first column is identifying the order, and it's using order ID as the key path. Now, with the additional validation, for example, if we never had an order ID and we had all the rest of the fields, since order ID is required, it's going to present an error message. I'm going to try to do exactly that. Instead of having order ID, I can change it to something else, random string. And if I try to submit this, you would see that it informs me required column order code or order ID is missing in template. If I change it back to order ID, this will be accepted because this is a valid template. So that's the first validation we created. And as I mentioned earlier, order ID and order code can be identifying an order. I can also replace the order ID with order code, and it would work just fine. The other validation that was implemented is to make sure that no duplicate field is present. So for identifier, for example, if we have two IDs that identify the order, but the data that's coming is inconsistent between the order ID and the order code, or the two different columns that are trying to identify the same entity, that's going to create a bit of an issue. So with this validation, we've tried to make sure that the order, the shipment file template is consistent. For example, if I have two order code fields, let's see what validation message comes out. It tells me that duplicate fields for order code or order ID is defined in template. Now, it's not only validating the cases when both fields are the same, it would also give me a duplicate error if we have the two columns defined order code and order ID at the same time. The same kind of validation is implemented for orderable ID, which is also a required field. Orderable ID, let me show you that this is a valid template now. If we missed orderable ID, it will tell me that required columns, orderable ID or product code is missing. I can change this to product code. Product code is valid. If there is a duplicate field, it will also detect it automatically. So that's the first ticket, which is about validating the shipment file template so that we have a more sane shipment file defined in our system. The second ticket that I will demonstrate is about validating each row of shipment file. This ticket is trying to implement some validation to make sure that, for example, since the shipment file is going to be one file for one shipment, if we have an order identifier specified in the first row, it should be the same in each of the rows. The shipment file template should always have an integer that's greater than or equal to zero for quantity shipped. Otherwise, why would that row be there? All product code or orderable ID specified in that shipment file needs to be a valid product code or shipment orderable ID that we know in the OpenLMIS. And there are a few other validations that we needed to execute for each row to make sure that each of the incoming shipment information is valid. And this is also implemented to demonstrate that. I have tried to create a few sample files. First of all, let me check if our template is.
Elias, we are approaching our 15 minutes allocation. Could you just give a quick overview, oral overview of the rest?
Yes, okay. So this is the shipment file template and validation. And this is a validation that's run by each row to make sure that each row is consistent. This ticket is a ticket that implements the case where the shipment file contains either order code or order ID. The order ID is a UUID, but the order code is a code that's generated in OpenLMIS based on some configuration. If that file contains this order code, the parser now recognizes that order code and is able to pick up and associate the shipment with the specific order. This is also implemented. The last ticket that I have in QA is an implementation of the parser to be able to recognize orderable code or product code and orderable ID whenever they are present in the template definition. So basically, the difference between the two is if I show you a valid shipment. So for example, in this shipment file, you would see that the product is identified by a UUID. This is the UUID used in OpenLMIS, but in other templates, the product can be specified using the product code field. And because of the ticket, that implementation now, if the template defines the product code as product code like this, it will be able to see each orderable's product code field and try to associate this shipment line item with the specific product or orderable from the orderables table. So basically, this is the implementation of the parser to properly recognize this field.
Thank you, Elias. So if you stop sharing, and I just will take 30 seconds and I will just wrap it up. So give me a moment. Thanks, Elias. So we also, hopefully you see my screen. So as part of the Elias tickets, there is also the QAs for those. So that was performed by Mohammed. As you see, those three tickets that have also, kind of QA tested. And the QA scripts are here for each of those. The steps have been went through for all of the tickets. And this was done by Mohammed. And for the other tickets that we hope to complete by the end of the day, today, for those, we will also do the similar thing. Thanks. Over. If there's any questions, feel free.
All right. Thank you, Ashraf and Elias. I don't think I heard any questions. If anybody had any, you may have been on mute. All right, I think we will continue on here. Unfortunately, Sam is not with us this morning. She's feeling a little under the weather. So I think Lukasz was going to handle the update for Team Mind the Gap.
Okay, so in this sprint, maybe I first share screen. Okay, I hope you can see screen.
Yep, it came through.
Okay, so basically in this sprint, I have been working on speech requisition feature, and Nico then works on some spikes related to notifications. Yeah, and basically that's everything what I can say about our sprint and about my ticket, because like you can see, although sprint goals tickets are still in progress, but I can still show something about split requisitions. So basically in the previous release in OpenMRS 3.5, we added ability to define supply partners in the system. And in this release, we'll use those supply partners that are defined in the system, and we'll use them in the requisition service to simply split requisition during the approvals phrase. So basically, after the split, there should be X requisitions, if we assume that X is the number of partners that can link the requisition, and also there will be an original requisition with some changes in line items. I already have requisition in the authorized status, and the split is done after the first approval. As you can see now, we have a single requisition, everything is normal, and now I will approve it. And now the requisition service should split the given requisition into two. One for partner requisition, which is this one, and one for regular requisition. So now, regular one. Okay, so this one contains all products that were earlier, but for products that are supplied by partners, line items are skipped. Requested quantity and explanation are marked as zero, same for approved quantity, and there's also information in the remarks column that the given product is supplied by partner. Yeah, and I still should be able to approve the standard acquisition.
This is why Team Paired is working on performance.
Yeah, in the final approval, there's a lot of things done. Okay, there's also a partner requisition. This one contains only products that are supplied by the partner, and in this case, the requisition is approved, so I can do anything. Also, as a partner user, I should be able to see my partner requisition. Yeah, and this one, So as you can see that as a partner user, I can still see the regular requisition. This is incorrect, and we already have a ticket for that to change the thing, because in the end I should only see this single requisition, other should be not visible for a partner user. Yeah, and there's other issues related with some configuration, but as you can see, the happy path works and speed works exactly as it should. And yeah, basically that's everything what I have to show about the ticket. Do you have any questions? If not, then I think it's everything from the Mind the Gap team.
All right, thank you, Lukasz. So once again, there's an opportunity for any questions or comments. And it doesn't sound like there's any. All right, we'll go on to Sebastian for Team Parrot.
Okay, thanks. I will share my screen in just a second. Okay, you should be able to see it.
There it goes, yep.
Okay, great. So during this sprint, we're mainly focused on the release faster, Epic. We have added a bunch of functional tests. We have also created and shared one document that's meant to explain the process of migrating manual test cases to automated test cases. So all the steps that happen to do so, the approval process and so on. And we will talk about that today. We're also supposed to work on the performance improvements during the sprint, but we didn't manage to close any of the performance-related tickets because of some blockers that we have encountered during the work. One of them was lack of access to Scalyr. This should be resolved by now, as I have seen on Slack. The other problem was with the deployment to the performance test server, which we are currently working on. So yeah, so during this sprint, we have focused more on adding more functional tests and releasing faster. And to compensate for that, during the next sprint, we'll be focusing more on the performance. And with that introduction, I will hand it over to Claudia, who will start saying more details about the added functional tests.
Okay, so I will share my screen. Okay, can you see it?
Yes, we can see it.
Okay, so first ticket is about adding non-full supply products, a functional test for adding non-full supply products. And here you can see the steps. We have adding some products and then trying to add more when there's nothing left and to add, and we should get an error, and then we are deleting them, and yeah. And that's it. And next ticket was about adding information about verifying timestamps before committing migration. And as scope of this ticket, updated generate migration task. Now when we are generating a new migration, we have this information in this file.
I will just add that this ticket is an outcome of the technical committee. So we are discussing the problem with the migration. With the migrations in general and the problem that you can add them out of order. So what we have decided as a short-term solution for now is to add that note to all the generated migration files to remind both the developer and the reviewer to verify that.
Yeah. Do you have any questions? Okay, so I will stop sharing my screen and pass it over to Joanna.
Okay, so I'll start sharing my screen. Okay, so can you see my screen?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so in the sprint, I completed one ticket, and it was about developing process to deprecate manual test cases. And basically, I had to come up with some details that we haven't discussed before, and also write down some other decisions and steps that we were already making when it comes to functional tests and manual test cases. So as a result, I created this document, deprecating manual test cases, that you can find on Confluence. And well, basically there are five steps. The review of tests concerning a given service, like the ones that Claudia and Paulina already did for the requisition and CCE services. Well, we basically have to analyze all existing tests, both manual and automated ones concerning a given service, and determine whether all of them are useful or not, and maybe whether any of them are missing, or whether specific features are tested in a correct manner. Then there's the cleanup of tests concerning the service. And well, after creating this review of the test concerning a given service, you have to, for instance, move the test cases that are verifying features that are not vital to that, combine manual test cases that can be combined because they are related. Also, you have to create the tickets concerning the creation of automated tests based on suitable test cases, and also for the creation of other automated tests, contract and integration ones. Then there's the very creation of automated tests. I suppose it's rather self-explanatory. And then you have to verify the manual test cases coverage when the functional test is ready for the tester. Well, you basically have to compare the steps in the functional test with the ones in the test case or test cases that it's based on, and whether it meets the acceptance criteria that are contained in the ticket. And the last step is moving the test cases to that. Usually just move the ticket with the test case on which the functional test was based to that, but also you need to go through other test cases concerning the same components to check if maybe others can also be moved to that, and or maybe some of the steps can be removed. So all the details I hope so are included in this document. Do you have any questions? Okay, so that would be all from me, and I'll pass the ball to Paulina.
Okay, hello, let me share my screen. Okay, so I have completed three functional tests during last sprint. The first one for stock-based requisitions, the second one for emergency requisitions, and the last one for skipping the authorizations process. I would like to show each of them. So the functional test for stock-based requisitions checks whether stock on hand calculated for initiating a new requisition complies with data entered in current stock when submitting a physical inventory. the second one for emergency requisition goes through the whole requisition process workflow, but for emergency ones, so it checks initiating, submitting, adding full supply products, non-full supply products, approving and converting such a requisition to order, and functional test for skipping the authorization step checks whether requisition workflow works correctly when a skip authorization step is selected, and whether a user can submit and authorize a requisition at once. And the test also checks whether after unselecting this option, it works in a normal, usual way. So thanks to these three tests, we could have moved the three manual test cases scenarios to that. So this is all. And does anyone have any questions? If not, then I will stop sharing.
So, any questions to Paulina or to anyone else from Team Parrot? Because I believe Paulina was last. Okay. Sounds
I don't have any questions. I just I'm really happy to see that these tests are continuing to get created, and that we have the process in place for how to review and look at the old manual test cases. So I think these are really important things. So thank you for all the work that you've done on this. All right, I think that we're finished then. Just a couple of reminders to the team leads, please make sure that you start your next sprints. If you have anything to finish up in this current sprint, like if you have any tickets that don't have story points, please add story points to those. Any work that's being done, I think Mary Jo mentioned this on Slack, but I'll just reiterate it here. Any tickets that are being worked on should be tagged for the 3.6 release. So make sure for that as well. This is probably up to the team leads. Please make sure that you're reviewing the tickets to make sure that this is updated. And then we'll see you again in 2 weeks for the Sprint 117 showcase. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Everyone, bye.
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 Bye.